بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم اغفر لنا ولشيخنا واحفظه وارفع قدره وللمسلمين أجمعين. قال المؤلف رحمه الله باب ما جاء في التنجيم. What he said about astronomy or astrology. In his Sahih al-Bukhari said, Qatada said, Allah created these stars for three things: decorating the heavens, stoning their shayateen, and signs for navigation. Whoever interprets other than that about them, then is mistaken and missed his share, and mentioned what he has no knowledge of. Qatada disliked learning about the moon's orbit. Ibn Uyayna did not make a concession for it. Harb mentioned this from them. Ahmed and Ishaq made exceptions for it. From Abu Musa, who said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, three will not enter paradise. The one addicted to khamar, one who cuts the relations of kingship, and the believer in magic, recorded by Ahmed ibn Hibban.
طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. The Sheikh Muhammad Imam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله, he brings this chapter after bringing the chapter to do with al-sihr, magic, and al-nushra, curing magic, and also to do with after the chapter of fortune telling, al-Quran. He mentions this chapter because it has a connection to it. It has a connection to it in the sense that the person that is doing astronomy, there's a type that is impermissible, and there's a type where a person is claiming to know the unseen. So that is where the connection is. This chapter and the next chapter are connected to the previous four chapters, whereby a person claims to know the unseen, the ilm al-ghayb, because of certain things taking place. So the chapter, باب ما جاء في التنجيم من الوعيد, that which has come with regards to astrology, meaning from evidences regarding this masala. So the maqsood al-bab is بيان حكم التنجيم, بيان حكم التنجيم. That is the bab or the maqsood of this chapter, to clarify the ruling on astrology. And at-tanjim, the ta'rif of it is, at-tanjim, the definition of it is, an-nadharu fi al-nujumi, an-nadharu fi al-nujumi, للاستدلال النظر في النجوم للاستدلال بها على تسيير أو التأثير So the meaning of astrology is that a person looks into the stars and uses as evidence, uses these stars and their setting points and their appearance and their dying, uses that as evidence to know a tasir, which is one of the types that we're going to learn in a minute, which is to learn what way, what direction to go, or to connect that to certain things that take place, or to connect the things to do with this nujum, the stars, connecting that to things that take place, people that are born, people that are dying, wars that happen, good things that happen to a person, and so on and so forth. And ilm al-nujum or tanjim is of two types. Ilm al-nujum is of two types. The first is called ilm al-tasyir. Ilm al-tasyir. And this is al-istidlalu bin-nujumi الاستدلال بالنجوم على معرفة الجهات على معرفة الجهات والأحوال والأوقات. So that is علم تسيير. And it is علم تسيير means to look at these stars and use them as a form of guidance to know directions. So for example, the way of the Qibla. And in Jahiliyyah, like in people in general, people that have knowledge of the stars and the mountains, in the nighttime, the stars would be used for guidance, and in the daytime, mountains would be used for guidance. Meaning what way your direction is, what way is east, what way is north, what way you're meant to be traveling, the direction of such and such city. So that is the first type, which is that you know that you use the knowledge of the Tanjim, astrology, to know the directions, to know the ahwal. For example, if yani those people that have knowledge of it, they know that if a certain star appears, that is a sign that we're close to winter or we're close to spring and the changing of the seasons. So it is not connecting it in the sense that they're using it to say it's going to happen because of that. It's just a mere sign to say that if that star appears, then usually what happens is that is a sign of winter coming or so on. Or even awqat, times. So they say if that star appears, then it shows we're close to Fajr time. Because that star only appears in the latter part of the night, close to morning. So that is the first type. حُكْمُهُ, the ruling of that type, is that it is جائز, it is that it is permissible. حُكْمُهُ الْجَوَازِ, it is permissible. And you can use as an evidence the verse of Allah جَلَّ وَعَلَى وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ in Surah Nahl, verse 63. وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. Allah says that they are signs and that they use these nujum, these stars, as guidance. So that type is permissible. The second type is ilmu ta'thir. Ilmu at-ta'thir. يعني أثر يؤثر, it has an effect, it has a say, or because of it. And that is of three types. And that is of three types. I will mention each one and the ruling connected to each one. The first one is أن يعتقد أن النجوم مؤثرة وموجدة للخير والشر بنفسها. The first type is that a person believes that the stars themselves have an effect and have a say in what goes on in the cone, in the universe, and they are the ones that bring about goodness or remove harm. That is the first type. أن يعتقد أن النجوم مؤثرة وموجدة للخير والشر بنفسها للخير والشر بنفسها. So this person believes that that star is a reason for this khair and this goodness to come to me, whether it's rain, whether it's sustenance, whether it's a newborn and so on. And as you know, that is حُكْمُهُ شِرْكُ الْأَكْبَرِ الشِّرْكُ فِي الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ الشِّرْكُ فِي الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ, that is شِرْكُ الْأَكْبَرِ. The second type is أَنْ يَسْتَدِلَّ بِهَا بِالنُّجُومِ أَنْ يَسْتَدِلَّ بِالنُّجُومِ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ أَنْ يَسْتَدِلَّ بِالنُّجُومِ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ. that a person uses stars and the calculations of these stars and the appearance of these stars or the falling of these stars to use as a means of knowing the unseen. مثلا, this star has appeared, or this star has moved west, or because of that star, this always shows that there's bad luck coming for the next however many years. Or because that has appeared, then something bad is going to happen to you in your life. So he's used, or this person has used the stars to claim the what? Ilm al-ghayb, the unseen. As you know, that side, the hukmu of hukmuhu kufr. The hukm of that is kufr. And why is it kufr and disbelief take a person out of Islam? Because idda'a ilm al-ghayb, he claims to know the unseen. And النوع الثالث, the third type, the third type of what? علم التأثير. أحسنتم, excellent. Never lose track of the categorization of the مسألة that we're on. The third type of علم التأثير is أن يعتقد أن النجوم سبب لحصول الخير والشر. أن يعتقد أن النجوم سبب في أو لحصول الخير أو الشر. That a person believes that the stars don't have an effect and the khayr comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lakin these stars are a reason for this happening. Because this star has appeared, this will happen. Or it is only a reason, lakin Allah is the one that brings the khayr. So the difference between this one and the previous ones is, previously, or in the previous two, they were attributing the taking place and the change to what? To the stars. Like in this one says, لا, كل شيء من الله سبحانه وتعالى, لكن that is a reason for it to happen. What is the hukum of that? Excellent. أحسنتم. شرك الأصغر. Why is it شرك الأصغر? نعم. So let me just finish one sec. Why is it شرك الأصغر يا جعفر? أحسنتم. See how this principle, you know, you studied this principle in chapter 7 or 8 or something like that. Like, because you know the principle, you're able to apply it in chapter 30. And that is the benefit of, that's the benefit of learning principles. And this is the same here. He hasn't said it itself brings the khayr or the shag, like it is a reason for it. Remember, like wearing amulets and so on, that is a reason for protection. Not saying this chain is going to protect me, like it is a reason for my protection. So this type, okay, is a person saying that when this star appears or when this happens, then it's a reason for rain coming down. It's a reason for khayr coming or happening because of the beauty of the sky and so on. So he's connecting the reason it's taking place to this star. Lakin he doesn't say the star is the one that brings us the khayr. So that is the difference. So that is the difference between, or that is the hukum. And that third one is shirk al-asghar. طيب, let's go back to the beginning. How many types are there overall for ilm al-nujum? Two, ahsantum. The first, ilm al-tasir. Ilm al-tasir is what? Ilm al-tasir is what? Naam. Using it in terms of you're getting around and you're moving around, whether you use it for directions, to know the seasons coming, the change of the seasons or timings and so on. What is the ruling on that type? That first type? It's allowed, it's permissible. What is the second type of ilm al-nujum? Ilm al-ta'thir, excellent. And how many types, ya Isa? How many types is ilm al-ta'thir? Three, excellent. The first? Brings about. Excellent. The star is the one that brings about benefit or harm, creates harm or benefit. That is what is the ruling on that? Shirk al-Akbar. Why? Because he has committed shirk in shirk al-ru'in, tawheed, Rububiyya. طيب, Sulaiman, second type. Okay. Knowing the unseen, ahsant, excellent. Knowing the unseen. So using that and saying, connecting the ilm al-ghayb to these stars. And what is the ruling on that? Kufr. طيب, excellent. Why? Claiming of knowledge of the unseen. The third type? Nah, not just their means, but a means. Because just means you're saying it's mine. Like, it is a means for this taking place. So he hasn't said the stars are the ones that cause this stuff, cause the change, or bring about benefit or harm. Like, it is what? A sabab. And what is the ruling on that? Excellent. طيب. Then the Sheikh says, rahimahullah, he mentions, قال البخاري رحمه في صحيح قال قتاد خلق الله سبحانه وتعالى النجوم. Then he mentions the state, another innovation of Imam قتاد rahimahullah. He mentions why Allah سبحانه وتعالى created the نجوم. And he said the first one is زينة للسماء. قال جل وعلا وزينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وحفظة. Allah جل وعلا mentions that they are beautification. طبعا they are beautification. ورجوما للشياطين. And they are what? They are like missiles for the shayateen. When they try to steal the revelation, they get shot down with these shooting stars. And the mahalu shahid here, وَعَلَامَاتٍ يُهْتَدَى بِهَا. And they are signs that people use as guidance. طيب, وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمُهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. طيب. So that is with regards to the first mas'ala. وَعَلَامَاتٍ, and they are used as signposts, the signs for guidance. طيب. فَمَنْ تَأَوَّلَ فِيهَا غَيْرُ ذَلِكَ أَخْطَأَ وَأَضَاعَ النَّصِيبَهُ وَتَكَلَّفَ بِمَا لَا عِلْمَ لَهُ. So then he says, rahimahullah, whoever interprets these stars to be anything other than what has been mentioned, then فَقَدْ أَخْطَأَ, he has made a mistake, وَأَضَاعَ النَّصِيبَهُ, and he has lost his say, his reward and his portion, meaning in the Akhirah. وَتَكَلَّفَ مَا لَا عِلْمَ لَهُ بِهِ, and he has taken part in, and he has talked about that which he has no knowledge of. طيب. And the وَجْهُ الدَّلَالَ is فِيهِ إِبْطَالٌ. The وَجْهُ الدَّلَالَ is فِيهِ إِبْطَالٌ أو إِبْطَالُ تَأْثِيرِ النُّجُومِ لِلْحَوَادِثِ. فِيهِ إِبْطَالُ تأثير النجوم للحوادث لأنه حصر حكمة خلقها في ثلاثة أمور وحكم على من اعتقد أن لها تأثيرا بالكفر لأنه نفى عنه النصيب. Anyone that misses it, go back to the recording, inshallah, so we don't spend a lot of time on it. And the wajhu dalala is that Imam Qatada, rahimahullah, he nullifies the fact that these stars have a say in that which goes on and that which takes place. In the events that occur and take the things that happen in this universe, he negates that they have a say in it. Why? Because he has limited the wisdom of it being created to three things. The fact that it is created for beautification, that it is a missile to shaitan, and that it is used for signs. طيب. Then he says, rahimahullah, وَكَرِهَ قَتَادَةُ تَعَلُّمَ مَنَازِلِ الْقَمَرِ وَلَمْ يُرَخِّسْ إِبْنُ عُيَيْنَ فِيهِ وَذَكَرَ حَرْبٌ عَنْهُ وَرَخَصَ فِي تَعَلُّمَ مَنَازِلِ الْحَمْدُ وَأَسْحَاقِ. Then he mentions a mas'ala which is to do with knowing the lunar phases. The moon, they say it has about 28 places that it sets and so on. So what is the ruling of learning the lunar phases or the moon and its setting points? What is the ruling on learning that? Imam Qatada disliked it. And Ibn Uyayna. Qatada and Uyayna disliked it. And the reason why they disliked it is what? Who can tell me? Naam, wasila ila shaykh. So you say, saddan lidhari'a. So to close off the doors of people claiming that the setting of the moon or the coming of the moon and so on, the changing of the moon, has a say in the hawadith, things that take place, to close off that door, they say it is impermissible to learn. They say it is impermissible to learn. And some of the Salaf, like Imam Ahmad rahimahullah wa Ishaq, they said that it is permissible. It is permissible so that people just use it as a means of guidance. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَقَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلَ لِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. Allah Jalla wa Ala mentioned in Surah Yasin that Allah Jalla wa Ala legislated it so that it can be learnt. وَقَدَّرُوا مَنَازِلَ لِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. So that you know the number of years and so on, and the calculation. So there's khilaf on this mas'ala. Lakin the wajhu dalala from this author, or this khilaf, is if the Salaf said it is not permissible to learn those things that are normally permissible, just to close off the means to evil and the means to shirk, then it is min babi awla, it is more befitting that they permit or they say that astrology is haram. Then it is more befitting that they say astrology is haram. So that is the first two narrations. Then he mentions the hadith of Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, in which he says, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يد, ثلاثة لا يدخلون الجنة, three will not enter into Jannah. The first, مدمن الخمر, the person who مدمن الخمر, or the person who constantly drinks alcohol, the alcoholic or the habitual drinker, the person who constantly drinks alcohol. وقاطع الرحم, and the person who cuts off family ties, and the person who cuts off family ties. ومصدق بالسحر, and the person that believes in sihr, the person that believes in sihr, that is also a person who will not enter into Jannah. What is the understanding of the hadith? The understanding of the hadith, you have to understand it to be up with other evidences. As we know, drinking alcohol is what? A major sin. So if it is said that he does not enter into Jannah, it means he does not enter into Jannah immediately at the beginning. Lakin the aqeed of Ahlul Sunnah is that the person who dies upon Tawheed, even if they were a sinner, they will enter where? Their end abode will be Jannah. So they are what they say, تحت مشيئة الله, under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that goes for the person that cuts off ties. And these two are major sins. Major sins. And the dalil is that Allah, the Prophet said, or in the hadith it says that they won't enter into Jannah. The third is مصدق بالسحر, a person who doesn't enter into, a person who doesn't believe in sihr. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that came in the last two chapters we studied, من اقتبس شعبة من النجوم, whoever learns a part of the نجوم, stars, فقد اقتبس شعبة من السحر, then he has learnt a part of sihr, زاد ما زاد. So whoever learns astrology, the Prophet ﷺ said, then it is as if he has taught or he has learnt sihr. And the more he increases in his knowledge of this knowledge of astrology, the more he increases his knowledge of sihr. Excellent. In sihr. So it is impermissible. So that hadith is da'if, lakin there's a point of evidence, or there's other evidences to prove every single one of them. Or the fact that the first two are major sins, there's many evidences proven. And the last one, there's another hadith, the hadith that I just read that we studied a couple of weeks ago. طيب. Lakin there's a fa'idah, which is when you come across these ahadith, thalathatun la yadkhulun al-jannah, three do not enter the Jannah. When you're teaching the awam and you're saying this in lectures and in khutbah, don't say the aqid of Ahlul Sunnah is that the khamr, the person that drinks khamr, will enter into Jannah, lakin this is just a severe threat. La. The Salaf would say, leave it according to their zahir. So when you say to a person, if a person cuts off family ties, they will never enter Jannah, the Prophet ﷺ said, that is more of a deterrent to them than saying, lakin the aqid of Ahlul Sunnah is that a person will enter into Jannah at the end of the day as long as he dies upon Tawheed. Is understood. So the Salaf wouldn't explain these hadith, they would mention it as the Prophet ﷺ said. For example, Salah. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah, faman tarakaha faqad kafar. The covenant between us, the difference between us and them is the Salah. Whoever leaves it off, then they have disbelieved. Khalas, leave it at that. Mention that hadith and say the Prophet said that they have disbelieved. You don't need to go into it. طيب. With regards to the zodiac signs, that is also a form of astrology. Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh Hafidhullah, he mentions in his explanation, he says, وَإِذَا قَرَأَ هَذِهِ الصَّفْحَةِ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ بُرْجَهُ الَّذِي وُلِدَ فِيهِ. If a person reads, you know, on newspapers and so on, or even on apps, they say the zodiacs are Leo, Cancer, whatever it may be. If a person, the Sheikh says, knows his, the time that he was born, and he knows the sign that they said that you, this is your sign, أَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْبُرْجَ الَّذِي يُنَاسِبُهُ, or he knows, يعني, which time he was born. وَقَرَأَ مَا فِيهِ, and he reads that which is in it, فَكَأَنَّهُ سَأَلَ كَاهِنًا, it is as if he has asked a fortune teller. See the severeness of this? It is as if he has asked a fortune teller, a kahin. فَلَا تُقْبَلْ لَهُ صَلَاةٌ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا, his salah won't be accepted for 40 days. His salah won't be accepted for 40 days. فَإِنْ صَدَقَ بِمَا فِي تِلْكَ الْبُرُوجِ, if he believes in that which is mentioned in these, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, then verily he has disbelieved in that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So remember the last hadith that we studied, that his salah won't be accepted. Whose salah? Who is the person whose salah won't be accepted? The one that goes to him and just asks him, just for the sake of it. Just by asking him, their salah won't be accepted for 40 days. Like in the one that believes in what he's saying, then they have disbelieved. Now ask yourselves, how many people read these things? How many people actually boast about it? Say, I'm Leo, I'm Cancer, whatever it may be. They actually boast about it. Therefore, we have to teach the Muslims and make sure that we inform them that this is haram. Then the Sheikh says, رَحِمَهُ وَهَذَا يَدُلُ عَلَى قُرْبَةِ التَّوْحِيدِ بَيْنَ أَهْلِهِ وَقُرْبَةِ فَهْمِ حَقِيقَةِ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ كِتَابُ التَّوْحِيدِ. And he says, رَحِمَهُ, and this shows the strangeness of Tawheed, even among the Muslims, even among the people of Tawheed, and the strangeness of the reality of that which is found in this book. Which book? كِتَابُ التَّوْحِيدِ. Billahi alaik, let me ask you, normally would you think that star signs are going to be talked about in Kitab al-Tawheed? No, you wouldn't. Like you only know of that when you are, when you study it. طيب, فيه مسائل.
Important points, the wisdom in creating the stars.
The three signs, the three things that Qatada rahimahullah mentioned, that they're beautification for the star, for the sky, and missiles for the shayateen, and they are signposts and things that people use as guidance.
The refutation of whoever claims contrary to that.
Contrary to that meaning what? That these stars have a say, interprets it to say that this will happen because of this star and this will happen because of that star.
The mention of the difference of a learning about orbits.
Naam, the orbits of the moon to learn whether it's permissible or not. Some of the Salaf said it is not permissible for Saddan lidhari'ah, to close off all of the doors that could possibly lead to shirk. And obviously there were those that said it is permissible because in the essence of it, it's not always something that is learned because of shirk. It's something that is learned so that people can find guidance. Obviously nowadays we use GPS and so on, lacking, obviously these things weren't around during that time.
The threat for whoever finds truth in any kind of magic, even if he knows that it is false.
Now, to believe the magician is like to believe, is you believe in ilm al-ghayb. And astrology, to say that this star is this and so on, that is claiming the ilm al-ghayb, and that is muharram. الباب الذي يلي.
باب ما جاء في الاستسقاء بالأنواء. وقول الله تعالى وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون.
رزقكم.
أحسن الله إليك. وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون. أبو مالك الأشعري reported that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there are four matters of jahiliyyah in my ummah that they will not leave: pride of ancestry, abusing lineage, seeking rain by the stars, and wailing. And he said, when the wailing woman does not repent before her death, she will be raised on the day of resurrection with a coat of tar and skin of leprosy, recorded by Muslim. Zayd ibn Khalid radiallahu anhu reports, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led us in the morning prayer at Al-Hudaybiyah after a night of rain. When he finished, he faced the people and said, do you know what your Lord has said? They said, Allah and his messenger know better. He said, this morning some of my servants have believed in me and others have disbelieved. As for the believer, he said, we received rain from Allah's bounty, that is the believer in me and the disbeliever in the stars. As for the one who said, we received rain because the position of the stars was like this and this, that is the disbeliever in me and the believer in the stars. And for them is a hadith from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anh with the meaning in it, some said such and such positioning proved right. So Allah revealed these ayat
But no, I swear by the setting star, and it is a tremendous oath if you but knew. That it is a honored Quran in a protected book. None touches it but the pure, revealed from the Lord of the worlds. Is this the news that you deny? And rather than thanking Allah for the provision He gives you, you deny Him.
This chapter, as I said earlier on, is also connected to the previous chapters. And it is seeking rain through the stars. So this one is specifically more, well, this chapter is specific and the previous one is general. At-Tanjim, astrology, what can come under it? Many things. From the things that come under astrology is this one, which is to attribute the rain to what? To the sending down of the stars. So the maqsood of the bab is to clarify hukmu nisbati al-istisqa ila al-anwa. Bayanu hukm nisbati al-istisqa ila al-anwa. To clarify the ruling on attributing rain to the stars. And al-anwa is the nujum. Al-anwa ay al-nujum. Al-anwa, al-nujum. And the mufrad is naw'un. Naw'un, anwa. Anwa is the plural. And al-istisqa bil-anwa, seeking rain through the stars, means nisbatu suqya ila al-anwa. Nisbatu al-suqya ila al-anwa. To attribute the sending down of the rain or the coming down of the rain to the stars. That is the maqsood that the Shaykh rahimahullah is mentioning in this chapter. And those of Jahiliyyah, they would attribute the sending down of rain to stars. And they would make it a means to, or the stars, they would make it a means for the rain coming down. They would make it a means for the rain coming down. What is the munasaba of this to Kitab al-Tawheed? The fact that if a person attributes the rain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down, if he attributes it to the stars, then there is a deficiency in one's Tawheed. There is a deficiency in one's Tawheed. And that Tawheed, as we shall see, can go in totality. For example, if a person believes that these are a reason for the rain coming down, or if he believes that they are only a means for the rain coming down. In that case, it is what? Shukr al-Asghar. So that is the connection between this chapter and Kitab al-Tawheed. This chapter and Kitab al-Tawheed. طيب. Then Allah Jalla wa'ala says, وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. So Allah Jalla wa'ala rebuked the mushrikun because Allah Jalla wa'ala would send them favors, Allah Jalla wa'ala would send them rain, which is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would attribute that blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the stars. يَكْفُرُونَ بِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ. They disbelieve in the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُكَذِّبُونَ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. By disbelieving it and attributing it to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the wajhu dalala of the hadith is أنكر الله سبحانه وتعالى على من نسب المطر إلى الأنواء على من نسب المطر إلى الأنواء أو إلى غيره وسمى الله فعلهم تكذيبا وهذا دليل على تحريم نسبة المطر إلى الأنواء وهذا دليل على تحريم نسبة المطر إلى الأنواع. And the wajh al-dalala is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebuked and condemned the mushrikun for attributing to the rain to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he called their action takdhib, disbelief. And the fact that Allah called it disbelief and they belied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sign that it is not permissible to attribute the rain to the stars. So that is the first verse. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah mentions the next hadith وعن أبي مالك رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said أربع من كنا فيه من أربع في أمتي من أمر الجاهلية لا يتركوهن لا يتركونهن. There are four things in this ummah, in my ummah, that are from jahiliyyah. There are four things from this ummah that are from jahiliyyah, and they will not leave them off. They will not leave them off. So the fact that Allah Jalla wa Ala, or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that they are from jahiliyyah shows that it is what? Muharram, as we shall see. And when someone attributes something to jahiliyyah, هذا كان في الجاهلية, in general it's referred to ما قبل بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that which was before the sending of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So الجاهلية is that which was before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you'll often find a shi'r al-jahili, the shi'r of the jahiliyyah, the shi'r of those people, Antak ibn Shaddad and so on, the shi'r that they used to say out before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is often used ma qabla al-bi'tha. At times you will find people saying in jahiliyyah, meaning when we used to, or when we never used to practice the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني that which contradicted the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that these four things will remain in this ummah, although they are from jahiliyyah, from the times of jahiliyyah, and although they are haram, lakin they will constantly be found in this ummah. The first one is al-fakhr bil-ahsab, to be prideful and boast regarding your ancestors. I am from such a family, I am from this family, and so on and so forth. And that is not permissible because إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, the most honored person in the sight of Allah, you know, يعني, the most honored one from among you is the most God-fearing among you. And also, what benefit will it have for you? The actions that your forefathers did. Also, they may not have been righteous people. They may not have been righteous people. So that is haram. And وَطَعْنُ فِي الْأَنْصَابِ, and to slander one's lineage, that is also haram. Or you're from this tribe, or you're from that country, you guys are this and you guys are that. That is not something that a person should do. And there is no racism in al-Islam. لأن al-Islam, Allah Jalla wa'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ, to all believers are brothers. Therefore, there's no slandering of one's lineage, nor is there slandering of one's tribe or country and so on and so forth. Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَلَا اسْتِسْقَاءُ بِالنُّجُومِ, and from those things that are in this ummah, that are from the actions of jahiliyyah, is seeking rain through the stars. Seeking rain through the stars. And that is the mahalu shahid of this hadith, which is al-istisqa'u bin nujum. Al-istisqa'u bin nujum is what? Nisbatu. What is it? Nisbatu al-suqya or al-matag ila al-nujum. That is the meaning by al-istisqa'u bin nujum. So the wajh al-dalala is, وجه الدلالة is في الحديث نسبة الاستسقاء بالنجوم إلى الجاهلية. في الحديث نسبة الاستسقاء بالنجوم إلى الجاهلية, وهذا دليل على التحريم, وهذا دليل على تحريمه, لأنه كلما نسبه الشرع إلى الجاهلية فهو محرم. The وجه الدلالة, or the evidence of, point of evidence, is that in the hadith it mentions that attributing rain to the stars is from the actions of jahiliyyah. days of ignorance. وَهَذَا الدَّلِيلُ عَنْ And that is a sign that it is Muharram. Because in the Sharia, everything that has been attributed to the Jahiliyyah is what? Muharram. Everything that has been attributed to the Jahiliyyah is Muharram. Because obviously that was before the revelation of the Prophet of the Quran upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they were not upon guidance. And one of the the Prophet sallallahu alayhi said to someone, إِنَّكَ مُؤْمْ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةَ أَوْ فِيكَ خَصْلٌ مِنْ الْجَاهِلِيَّةَ There is a trait of Jahiliyyah in you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi said to someone. So that is what? The mahal shahid from the hadith. The last one the Prophet sallallahu alayhi said, وَالنِّيَاحَ And niyaha is wailing and ripping out clothing and slapping one's cheeks and slapping other things when death comes to a person or when a person, a loved one dies. When a loved one dies, that a person wails and screams and hollers and so on. That is Muharram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "An-niyahatu or na'ihatu, the lady that does that." And it doesn't specifically mean women only, like it can include men. Like in the hadith mentions women because it happens in the majority of cases with women. إِذَا لَمْ تَتُمْ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهَا If she doesn't repent before her death, تُقَامُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَعَلَيْهَا سِرْبَالُ مِنْ قِطْرَانُ وَدَرْعُ مِنْ حَرْبُ مِنْ جَرَبُ So she will be punished if she doesn't repent before her death. If she doesn't repent, then يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ She will be dressed in a dress of liquid pitch and she will be dressed in a cloak which causes her to itch. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ And that is a sign that it is a major sin. Why? Because that person is not happy with and is not patient upon the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like when this musibah comes, we say inna Allah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and then we don't say or do anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah mentions so where was the mahalu shahid from that hadith? وَالْإِسْتِسْقَاءُ بِالنُّجُومِ And how is that mahalu shahid? Where is your dalala? What is the point of evidence? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attributed the act of to the days of Jahiliyyah. And everything that the Sharia attributes to the day of Jahiliyyah is something that is what? Muharram. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned وَلَهُمَا عن زيد بن خالد رضي الله عنه قال The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الصبح بالحديبية على إثر السماء إن كانت من الليل So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was with the companions in Hudaybiyah and after they prayed صلاة الصبح the morning prayer after it had rained so it rained during the night and then after the صلاة الصبح the morning prayer the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to them على إثر يعني على عقبي after the rain So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam completed the salah, فلما انصرف أقبل على الناس فقال هل تدرون ماذا قال ربكم? Do you know what your Lord has said? And they said, Allah wa Rasuluh a'lam. Allah jalla wa ala and His Messenger know best. This is called what? Hadith al-Qudsi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah jalla wa ala said, أصبح من عبادي مؤمن بي وكافر. My servants have awoken, and from them is a mu'min and a kafir, a believer in me and a disbeliever in me. فَأَمَّا مَنْ قَالَ As for the one, so Allah Jalla wa'ala told us that the servants have woken up, and among these servants is what? A mu'min and a kafir. Then Allah Jalla wa'ala says, فَأَمَّا As for the one that says, مُطِغْنَا بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ فَذَلِكَ مُؤْمِنٌ بِي وَكَافِرٌ بِي كَافِرٌ بِالْكَوَاكِبِ As for the one that says, we have been, the rain has come down, and the blessing of Allah has come down upon us, بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ due to the mercy or the virtue of and generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرَحْمَتِهِ and His mercy, so the one that attributes the rain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying it is from Allah, and it is a generosity from the generosities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person is mu'minun bi. He's a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kafirun bil kawakib. He has disbelieved in the stars. وَأَمَّا مَنْ قَالَ As for the one that says, مُطِغْنَا بِنَوْءِ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَذَلِكَ كَافِرٌ بِي mu'minun bil kawakib. As for the one that says that the rain has come to us because of this star and that star and the setting of this star and the appearance of this star, then what has that person done? Allah Jalla wa Ala says, فَذَلِكَ كَافِرٌ بِي وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. He has disbelieved in me, meaning disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُؤْمِنٌ بِالْكَوَاكِبِ. He has believed in the kawakib. He has believed in the kawakib. So why has he disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because he has attributed the blessing of Allah Jalla wa Ala to the stars. So that is why he has disbelieved. So the wajhu dalala from the hadith, في الحديث تسمية من في الحديث تسمية من نسب المطر في الحديث تسمية من نسب المطر إلى الأنواء كافرا. أو بالكفر. وهذا دليل على التحريم. وهذا دليل على التحريم أو تحريمه. The hadith states, and it calls the one who attributes rain to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who attributes the rain to the stars, the hadith mentions that he is what? A kafir. And the fact that the hadith mentions he is a kafir is a sign that it is what? Halal or haram? Haram. Haram. The next mas'ala, what type of kufr is it? So you can write a question, what type of kufr is mentioned in the hadith, or is the hadith referring to? How many types could it possibly refer to? Two. Which are? Akbar and Asghar. طيب. I want you to work with me here. If we said the hadith states that he's a kafir, that kufr, you've said that it can be what? Major or minor. When can it be minor kufr? Attributing the stars, to rain to the stars, when can it be minor kufr and when is it major kufr? I want two people to answer. Put your hands up. I'm the king. When is it minor kufr? Naam, excellent. If they believe that the stars are merely a reason for the rain and the bounty of Allah to come down, then that is minor shirk, minor kufr. Why? Ja'ala ma laysa bisabab sabab. He has made a means something that the Sharia has not made a means. Taib. The second type, when does it become major? Ahsant. If the star are the ones that bring down the rain, if in that case it would be kufr, because he has attributed it not as a reason, like as a cause, as the sole cause and the one that brings it, or the thing that brings it, attributed the rain to the stars. So in that case it is also what? Major kufr. Jazakumullah khairan. طيب. And then in the last narration, the Prophet, the Shaykh rahimahullah, mentions وَلَهُمَا فِي مِنْ حَدِيثِ إِبْنِ عَبَاسِ بِمَعْنَاهُ وَفِيهِ قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لَقَدْ صَدَقَ نَوْعُ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ. So the last hadith, the last narration, وَلَهُمَا, it says, like in reality it's in Sahih Muslim. It says وَلَهُمَا, صح؟ It is in Sahih Muslim. وَلَهُمَا means Bukhari and Muslim. Like in here, this hadith is only found in Muslim. So the نعم. So Ibn Abbas said, قال بعنه لقد صدق نوء كذا وكذا. Verily, the نوء كذا, the star has told the truth, or it is connected to the truth, meaning the reason why these things take place, the reason why the setting of the rain and so on comes, is because of that, because of the stars. فأنزل الله سبحانه وتعالى فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم and then up to وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون. So it is the same استدلال as the first verse in this chapter. So the way that we took the evidence for the first chapter was what, the first verse was وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. Who remembers? What was the وَجْهُ الدَّلَالَةِ from the first verse in this chapter? Naam, they disbelieved in it. So they said what? The bounty of Allah Jalla wa'ala, they said it was because of Naam, it was because of this rain. They attributed the bounties of Allah, the rain of Allah Jalla wa'ala, and the ni'mah of Allah, the blessing of Allah, to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِبُونَ. Allah Jalla wa'ala called them كَذَّابُونَ. And that is a sign that they have fallen into something which is haram, because Allah labeled them to be kuffar. طيب labeled them كَذِبُونَ. فيهم سائن.
Important points. Explanation of the ayah of Al-Waqi'ah.
نعم. Allah called them كذابون, liars, because they attributed the blessing of Allah to the stars.
Mention of four matters of Jahiliyyah.
Four things of Jahiliyyah. And what was the mahalu shahid in that hadith where the Prophet said four things will be in this ummah from the actions of Jahiliyyah? Where was the mahalu shahid? The third one, al-istisqa'u bin nujum. Attributing the rain to the stars is from an act of Jahiliyyah. And if it is from the acts of Jahiliyyah, it is what? Halal or haram? Haram.
Mentioning disbelief in the case of some of them?
Naam. Some of them are disbelief. The hadith where Allah Jalla wa'ala said that my believer has woken up, or the believers, the servants of Allah have woken up, and among them are believers and among them are kuffar. Those that attribute the blessing of Allah to Allah, they are believers. Those that attribute it to other than Allah are kuffar.
That among disbelievers that which does not remove one from the millah.
Naam, so there's kufr. If at times something can be called kufr and it could mean major shirk. And at times it could be kufr and it could mean major kufr. And at times it could be the lesser kufr that doesn't take the person outside of Islam. And how do we know which context, which one is the correct understanding, whether it's major or minor? You look at the context. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam مثلا said, "La tarji'u ba'di kufara, yadribu ba'dukum a'naqa ba'd." Do not go back to kufr and disbelieve, and one of you strikes the neck of his brother. One of you strikes, then you strike your necks. You kill each other, basically. Like in fighting, is it kufr? Does it take a person out of Islam? Like, it doesn't take a person out of Islam. So how do we understand this hadith? What, مثلاً, this hadith, where Allah, the Prophet said, do not go back to kufr. In another verse, Surah Al-Hujurat, what did Allah Jalla wa'ala say? وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قْتَتَلُوا. If two groups from the believers fight one another, and what does Allah says? فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَ خَوَيْكُمْ. Rectify that which is. And Allah, even before, وَإِن طَائِفَةٍ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, if two groups from the believers. So Allah said that they are killing one another, like in they are believers. In this hadith, they say going back to kufr. How do we understand it? We do jam', we combine between evidences. We don't take one ayah and run with it and have a foreign understanding to other evidences. And we don't take one hadith and then have the understanding which is different to the sharia. We look at the sharia as a whole. And that is from the khasais, or the specific characteristics and traits of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Al-jam'u bayn al-nusus. Taking evidences and understanding them as a whole and having a wholesome understanding of the sharia. There is not a single group from the groups of Ahlul Bid'ah except that they hold on to a part of the sharia. They hold on to a part, meaning they use a part as evidence. Those that negate the names and attributes of Allah, they will say, honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, laysa kamithlihi shay. There's none like unto Allah, therefore we're going to negate all names and attributes. So it's important that we combine evidences.
He's saying, this morning some of my servants believed in me and others disbelieved because of the favors that Allah alone sent down.
So they disbelieved. And some disbelieved and some became believers. Why? Because of the rain coming down. That was a cause. Those that believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributed the blessing to Allah. Those that believed in the stars attributed the stars to the rain to the stars.
The importance of faith in this context.
Yeah.
The importance of disbelief in this context.
The fact that attributing the rain to the stars is kufr.
The importance of saying such and such positioning proved true.
Meaning the stars, they've told the truth, or they fulfilled the requirement and so on, or the promise. No, it's not permissible.
The knowledgeable teaching the seeker of knowledge by asking, "Do you know what your Lord has said?"
No. One of the ways of teaching people is, instead of giving them the answer immediately, you ask them, "Do you know this?" And that is a form of question and answers, like the hadith of Jibril alayhi salam.
The threat of punishment for wailing.
The wailing is a severe punishment, and it is from the major sins. طيب والله أعلم. We'll stop there. We'll pray Isha and then we'll resume after Isha inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد تفضل.
باب قول الله تعالى ومن ال...
Just the first two verses inshallah.
باب قول الله تعالى ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله وقوله قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم إلى قوله أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله الآية.
طيب. So the Sheikh rahimahullah is going to a new set of chapters. This chapter and the five or six after it are on أعمال القلوب. أعمال القلوب, actions of the heart. He's going to mention al-mahabba, as we're going to study today, inshallah. Khawf, fear. Tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sabr, and so on. So he's going to mention a set of chapters that are connected to actions of the heart. The Shaykh says, rahimahullah, باب قول الله تعالى ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله. He doesn't say bab or kada wa kada. He mentions the verse as the chapter title. And the reason is because the intent of the chapter is clear in the verse, talking about the mahabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentions that you can call this babul mahabba. Babu al mahabba. So it can be known as the Bab of Mahabba, the chapter of loving. And the Shaykh says, Naam. So the maqsood of the Bab, the objective of the Bab is Bayanu Anna Mahabbat Allahi Ibadah. Bayanu Anna Mahabbat Allahi Ibadah. وجعلها لغير الله شرك وجعلها لغير الله شرك. The objective is to clarify that محبة, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a form of ibadah. And giving that love and diverting it to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a form of shirk. And mahabba is of two types. Al-mahabba al-tabi'iyya, natural love, whereby a person loves his family, loves a certain place, and so on. And it is something which is natural. Loving your parents, children, and so on. This is a natural love. That is not intended in this chapter. The second type of love is al-ibadah, mahabbatul ibadah. Oh, ibadatul mahabba. Al-sah. Ibadatul mahabba, the worship of love. And that is the one that is meant and being referred to in this hadith. And mahabba, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that love that is in the heart of the person in which they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it causes them to hasten and to perform those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And staying away from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. So the sign of a person loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the commandments of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, قُلْ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. There was a group of people that claimed to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is called Ayatul Imtihan, the eye of the testing, as Hassan al-Basri radiallahu anhu rahimahu said. There were a group of people that claimed to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. If you verily do love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then follow me if you verily do love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah jalla wa ala will love you. So the mahabbah that we're referring to is that mahabbah that causes a person to yearn the love of Allah and rush and hasten towards those things that Allah is pleased with and staying away from those things that Allah jalla wa ala dislikes. And it is from the muharrikatul qulub, those things that move the heart. Move it towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those things that Allah loves, jalla wa ala. And the more love of Allah there is in the heart of the servant, the closer he is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the closer he is to performing those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Tayyib. And al-mahabba is also from of three types when we're talking about the mahabba of ibadah. The first is mahabbatullah, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the one that I've just talked about now. Mahabbatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second is al-mahabbatu fillah. Al-mahabbatu fillah. Loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person loves the messengers, the righteous people, the believers, and that is love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-mahabbatu fillah. That's why you say to someone, uhibbuka fillah. I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the seven that will be under the shade of Allah jalla wa ala on a day where there is no shade. وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَ فِي اللَّهِ. Two men that loved, or two women, two people that loved one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they met upon that and they departed upon that. And that is a great form of ibadah, whereby a person loves a person because of their connection to Allah or what they deem to be their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is often between the believers. And how can you know if you love a person for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, and if you don't love them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, and you love them for other worldly gains? Mathalan, for example, as an example, if you love someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that person contradicts the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, falls into things that contradict the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They fall into bid'ah, or they start calling to bid'ah, and so on and so forth. That is where the imtihan or the test is. If you carry on loving that person like you loved him in the past, and you go on as if nothing has happened, then that is a sign that you love them for other reasons. Because if you love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you would have also disliked them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is al-mahabbatu fillah. And the third one is, the third type is al-mahabbatu ma'allah. Al-mahabbatu ma'allah. And that is to love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for Allah, not Allah himself jalla wa ala, lakin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the mahabba of the mushrikeen, the love of the mushrikeen, whereby they used to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lakin they used to love their idols and the things that they used to worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the one that the first verse refers to. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. And there are from the people those that make andad, like they make people or things like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The andad is a jam' of nid. And nid is an-nadhir wa-shabih. An-nid, an-nid, al-shabih, an-nadhir wa-shabih. An-nid is that which resembles a person. هذا نِد هذا. They resemble one another, they're the same. They're mithlu hada. So those mushrikun, Allah Jalla wa'ala rebuked them and says, from the people there are those man yattakhidu min dunillahi andadan. They make gods and idols that they worship, or aliha, gods that they worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yuhibbunahum kahubbillah. They love them like they love the, they love them like they love them like they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yuhibbunahum kahubbillah. They love them like they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lakin Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Lakin those that believe in Allah Jalla wa'ala sincerely, they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. So there are two tafsirs in this verse that the Salaf mention. The first tafsir is that the mushrikeen love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way they love Allah Jalla wa'ala the way they love their idols. Or they love their idols in the same manner that they do, or that they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah says, يُحِبُّونَهُمْ أي الأنداد كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Like they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the first tafsir of the verse. Who can repeat that? يحبون الأنداد كما يحبون الله. يعني يحبون الأنداد ويحبون الله. They love Allah جل وعلا and they love their idols and those things that they are worshipping besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى. طيب. And that is the meaning that a lot of the scholars say is the more clearer meaning. So they love these gods and they love Allah جل وعلا the same as they in the same way. And that is why they will say, تَاللَّهِ إِن كُنَّا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ إِذْ نُسَوِيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Wallahi, we were in upon a great misguidance. At a time, during a time when we used to liken you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During a time when we used to liken you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next meaning, or the second meaning of the verse that the scholars interpret to be, that these mushrikun, they love their gods like the believers love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They love their gods like the believers love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب, the wajhu dalala min al-ayah, the point of evidence from the ayah, مدح الله سبحانه وتعالى المؤمنين المخلصين. مدح الله سبحانه وتعالى المؤمنين المخلصين على محبتهم لله سبحانه وتعالى محبة خالصة وهذا دليل على أنها عبادة لأن كلما أثنى الله على فاعله فهو عبادة لأن كلما أثنى الله سبحانه وتعالى على فاعله فهو عبادة وفي الآية ذم للمشركين بتسويتهم آلهتهم بالله سبحانه وتعالى في المحبة. I said it fast because hopefully inshallah you can catch it with the recording. And also in general, whenever you're listening to a lesson, it's always good to listen to it twice. In class and after class. So you've obviously revised these three chapters that we're doing today. I assume husnul dhan that you've studied it beforehand, meaning you've had a quick glance. Then when you come to class, you study it for the second time. Then when you go home, inshallah, before next week, it's good to review the lesson, or you should review the lesson, And even if you listen to the recording, it's even better. Listen to the recording, it's even better. Taib, remind me about the exam. I'll let you know about the exam. Remind me after this class. Taib. So the wajhu dalala from the verse is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prays the believers, the sincere believers, for their love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For their sincere love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah prays the believers for their sincere love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a sign that it is a type of worship, meaning muhabba, that it is a type of worship. Because everything that Allah jalla wa ala praises is a form of ibadah. Everything that Allah jalla wa ala praises is a form of ibadah. And also Allah jalla wa ala condemned them and rebuked them and refuted the mushrikeen for what? For them likening their love of Allah jalla wa ala and the love that they had for their idols. So Allah jalla wa ala rebuked them and refuted them and made them blameworthy for that. So that is the wajhu dalala from this verse. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah mentions the second verse, in which he says, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ أَبَاءُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاءُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ, to the end of the verse. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala says, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Then wait until Allah Jalla wa Ala comes with his affair, until the punishment of Allah comes to you. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if your fathers and your children, your sons and your brothers and your wives and your family and wealth that you fear declining and being ruined, and the homes that you live in, if they are ahabba ilaykum min Allahi wa rasooli, if they are more beloved to you than Allah jalla wa ala and his messenger, then wait. That is a threat. That is a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of those who love these things mentioned in the verse, the way they love Allah, or more than they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the wajhu dalala from the ayah is, Tawa'ad Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bil'iqabi man kanat hadhihi al-ashya'u ahabba ilayhi min Allahi wa rasulihi wa hakama alayhim bil-fisqi wa hadha fihi dhammun lahum. And Allah jalla wa ala, so the mahalu shahid is Allah jalla wa ala threatened them for whoever has these traits of loving these things mentioned in the verse more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah jalla wa ala has threatened them, and Allah jalla wa ala has said that they are fusaq. So that is a threat that Allah jalla wa ala will punish them with. So that is the mahalu shahid of the verse. And how can you know if you love your close family or you love others over Allah jalla wa ala? Compare yourself when it's the commandments of Allah, when Allah jalla wa ala wants you to do something, and when other than Allah, when other people want you to do something. Which one do you put forward? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الله. There is no obedience to the creation in the disobeying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask yourself, when the people want you to do something, or when you want to do something, whether it's your own desires, or when people want you to do something and it contradicts the Sharia, do you say, mashi hal, khalas, let me just do it, it's only this time, and so on and so forth? Or will you say that, khalas, it is haram, and Allah jalla wa ala made it haram, therefore I put the love of Allah jalla wa ala before the love of these things? Also, it's important to know that when a person is faced with certain things, there are things, yani when something happens in your family, مثلاً, there are things that you have a say in, and there are things that you don't have a say in. There are things that can be put for discussion, and there are things that can't be put for discussion. مثلاً, for example, having something haram in the home, or مثلاً, for example, a family member traveling alone. That is not down to you. Whether you love them or not, you can't say to them it's permissible, because there's a hadith for this. There's evidence for this, clear-cut evidence from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those sorts of things, there's no room for movement. Lacking those things that are not haram in the Sharia, then khalas, you can obey, or you can help, and you can listen, and you can be lenient as much as you can. طيب. So that is the first two verses that the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala mentions. Then he mentions the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده ووالده والناس أجمعين. That one of you will not truly believe until I become more beloved to him than his child, his parents, and all of the people. And all of the people. So the mahalu shahid is, or the wajhu dalala is, nafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-imana. I fear when I said, listen to the recording, that no one's going to write it down now. Nafa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-imana. أَمَّنْ لَمْ يَكُنِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَلَدِهِ وَوَالِدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَلَا يُنْفَى الْإِيمَانُ عَنْ أَحَدٍ وَلَا يُنْفَى الْإِيمَانُ عَنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِتَرْكِ وَاجِبٍ أو فعل محرم فدل ذلك على وجوب محبة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وإذا كانت محبة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واجبة إذا كانت محبة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واجبة فمحبة الله أولى بالوجوب فمحبة الله أولى بالوجوب. So the وجه الدلالة is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم negated إيمان belief from the person that doesn't love Allah سبحانه وتعالى doesn't love the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم more than his child and his parents and all of the people. And iman is not negated from a person except due to leaving off a wajib or doing a muharram. Iman is not negated from a person except due to them leaving off a wajib, something that was obligatory, or doing something that was muharram. So this shows the obligation of loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And lastly, if that is the situation with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the love of the Prophet is obligatory, then the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even more obligatory. طيب. The next mas'ala, what iman, or what a question, what iman is being negated? What iman is being negated in the hadith? In general, when you find in a hadith لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون, or this hadith أتى يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه, or لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب للنفس, one of you will not truly attain iman until he loves for his brother, or the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said one of you will not truly believe until his neighbor is safe from his harm, and so on. There are two meanings. نفي الكمال الإيمان أو نفي أصل الإيمان. Anytime you come across a negation of iman, then it is one of two meanings. Either what is being negated is the complete iman, meaning one's iman will not be complete unless they do X, Y, Z, whatever is mentioned. And that is the type that is mentioned in this hadith. And other hadith like, one of you will not truly believe until he loves for himself or he loves for his brother. Or loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And the next type of negating is negating aslul iman, the essence of iman, meaning that person is not even a believer. And obviously if a person disbelieves in Allah and they don't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they don't love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that negation is what? Negation of wujud al-iman, the essence of iman. There's no iman in that person. So the iman that is being negated here is the iman kamal wajib, that which prevents the person's iman from being complete. So the hadith shows that it is obligatory to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also it means that it is obligatory to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what? They follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a person loves Allah, they follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, if a person truly loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they follow his sunnah. طيب. ولهما عنه, and also from them, they've narrated قال عنه, the Anas, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said ثلاث مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. There are three things that if a person finds in himself, he finds the sweetness of Iman. And he lists them. He says, أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. The first is that a person loves Allah جَلَّ وَعَلَى and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anyone else and anything else. That is the first one. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And that one of the signs of, or the things that will cause a person to taste the sweetness of Iman, the second one is that he loves a person, لَكِنْ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. He only loves him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He only loves him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person loves another person for the sake of Allah, they will taste the sweetness of Iman. لَكِنْ they love that person due to their Iman. Why do we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because he guided us sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do we love مثلاً Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved them, and because of the love they had of the Prophet, for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do we love the people of knowledge? Because of the knowledge that they carry and the closest that they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we love the believers? Because of the Iman in their heart. So that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he loves a person and he only loves him for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Now, if a person loves someone for Allah's sake and they love him for family ties, for example, then inshallah they'll get double the reward. وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ. And the third thing that will cause a person to taste the sweetness of Iman is أَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. That they dislike, that they return to disbelief بَعْدَ إِذْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ. After Allah جَلَّ وَعَلَى saved him from it. كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. So he hates, a sign of a person tasting one's Iman is that he hates to fall into kufr or to go back to kufr after Allah Jalla wa Ala saved him from it. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from it. طيب. So the first one is what? That you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger more than anyone. The second one is that you love a person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third is that you dislike to go back into kufr after Allah Jalla wa Ala saved you from it, just like you dislike or that you hate to be thrown into the fire. So the wajhu dalala from this verse is علق الحديث وجود حلاوة الإيمان بأن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. وهذا دليل على أن محبة الله عبادة لا يكمل الإيمان إلا بها. So the وجه الدلالة, the point of evidence from this hadith is that the hadith connected the existence of the sweetness of Iman, the presence of the sweetness of Iman in the person, with, it connected it with what? Their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it connected the love they have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger more than anyone with Iman, with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the existence of Iman, Afwan. The love that they have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger, they connected that with the existence or the presence of them tasting the sweetness of Iman. طيب. And that is a sign that loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a form of ibadah. And one's Iman will not be complete except with the full love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the mahalu shahid of the hadith. Or the word to dalala. The last sentence where the Prophet ﷺ said, and he hates, and ya'uda fil kufri, that a person returns back to kufr and disbelief and shirk after Allah saved him from it. The scholars talk about a mas'ala, which is this specific to a person who accepted Islam after being a mushrik or a kafir? Is it specific to that sort of person? Or is it general to everyone? Meaning everyone's grateful that Allah guided them. The answer is the latter, which is that even if Allah Jalla wa'ala, if you was a Muslim and you weren't practicing, and then Allah Jalla wa'ala guided you to practicing, or if Allah Jalla wa'ala gave you the blessing of practicing from the beginning of your, after you've reached age, or Allah Jalla wa'ala saved you from disbelief, all of these three scenarios come into this hadith. Because every single one of us, what? Dislikes to go back to kufr, or disbelief, or disobedience, just like they dislike to be thrown into the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Jalla wa'ala protect us from it. Taib. So that is the second hadith that the Shaykh rahimahullah, or the first, la, the second hadith that the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned. Then he mentions, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ لَا يَجِدُ أَحَدٌ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى إِلَى آخِرِ الْحَدِيثِ. So the Shaykh mentions a second narration, which is just consists of one line, which is part of the other hadith. Lakin, the only difference is that the first hadith says what? Whoever has these three traits tastes iman. This one says, la yajidu. He won't taste iman unless he comes with these three. See the difference? So based on the first narration, yeah, a person may taste iman with other things, even if these things are not met. Like, if these things are met, they'll taste the sweetness of iman. Like, and there's no negation in it. Like in this narration, la yajidu ahadun, no one will taste the sweetness of iman until these three are found. So that's why the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned the first one, because the second narration. And the reason why he mentions the second narration is because the negation is clear in it. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah mentions the last hadith, وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه, or the last narration, the author, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه قال من أحب في الله وأبغض في الله ووالى في الله وعاد في الله. Whoever loves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake and dislikes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, and نعم, dislikes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, أبغض في الله وعاد في الله, and he hates for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, فإنما تنال ولاية الله بذلك. Then that is the only way that a person can gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being from the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By loving for Allah jalla wa ala's sake, by hating for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, and befriending and protecting one for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, and having allegiance for Allah's sake, and this allegiance for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Now, فَإِنَّمَا تُنَالُ وَلَايَةُ اللَّهِ بِذَلِكَ. That is the only way of attaining the protection and the love and the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَنْ يَجِدَ عَبْدٌ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ. And a person will not taste the sweetness, a servant will not taste the sweetness of iman, وَإِنْ كَثُرَتْ صَلَاتُهُ وَصَوْمُهُ. Even if his salah is a lot and his fasting is a lot, حَتَّى يَكُونَ كَذَلِكَ. Unless he does that, unless he is like that. Meaning what? A person can fast and a person can do a lot of praying, lakin his iman will not be complete. What, he won't taste the sweetness of iman unless he loves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, he hates for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, and his love and allegiance is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Then the Shaykh says, وَقَدْ صَارَتْ عَامَةٌ, or the Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, وَقَدْ صَارَتْ عَامَةُ مُؤَخَاتِ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَذَلِكَ لَا يُجْدِي عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ شَيْئًا. And he said, rahimahullah wa radiallahu anhu, that the majority of people today, their love is for religious, or the brotherhood that they have is for worldly matters. And that was during the time of who? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. طيب. نعم. وَذَلِكَ لَا يُجْدِي عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ شَيْئًا. لَا يُجْدِي, أي لَا يُفِيد. لَا يُجْدِي, لَا يُفِيد. It won't benefit the person. It won't benefit the person. Now, so the person, that which benefits you is the love that you have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake and the hate that you have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. And if a person loves a person for the dunya, then that relationship and that connection will go. Like in the only relationship that remains until Yawm al-Qiyamah and beyond is the relationship and the love that a person has for a person. And this narration is weak. However, there are two other ahad, there are other ahadith that are a shahid for it, a witness for it. So the ulama, they say, وَيَشْهَدُ لَهُ هَذَا, that is a witness for it. So there's other ahadith. For example, the hadith of Umama where the Prophet said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ فِي اللَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ فِي اللَّهِ وَأَعْطَى فِي اللَّهِ وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. And that is literally the same. The Prophet said, whoever loves for Allah, hates for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَعْطَى فِي اللَّهِ, and gives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, and he withholds for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, then he has completed iman. Narrated by Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah. The next hadith is hadith Bara ibn Azib, where he says, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet said, أَوْثَقُ عُرَى الْإِيمَانِ الْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ. The strongest of holds of iman, is loving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, and disliking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Narrated by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, rahmatan wasi'ah. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah mentions the last narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, in which he explains the verse of Allah, وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ, and he says, أي المودّة, وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ, meaning يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, those connections that they had, تَقَطَّعَتْ, انتهت, it has ended. So Ibn Abbas says, يعني the mawadda, the love that they had for each other, that was based on worldly matters and based upon disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all of this love has gone. Then all of this love and all of the connection that they had for each other has gone. So the narration shows, so the narration shows, في الأثر دليل على أن المودة إذا لم تكن لله ستنقطع في الآخرة. في الأثر دليل على أن المودة إذا لم تكن لله ستنقطع في الآخرة ولا ينتفع به صاحبها. And the person will not benefit from it. وَإِنَّمَا الَّذِي يَنْفَعُ الْعَبْدَ مَحَبَّةُ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّمَا الَّذِي تَنْفَعُ الْعَبْدَ مَحَبَّةُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أو الْمَحَبَّةُ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So the narration shows that love, if love is not based on iman, loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah, if it's not based on iman, then it will end, it will come to an end, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, and it won't benefit the person. It won't benefit the person, like in the one that benefits is the love that a person has for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Naam. So the first part of the verse is it tabara alladhina tubi'u min alladhina tabaru wa ra'u al-'adaba wa taqatta'at bihim al-asbab. Where those people that followed and those people that were followed, they will free one another from each other. After they see the adab, wa taqatta'at bihim al-asbab, and all sorts of connections will be disconnected. طيب طيب مسائل
important points, explanation of the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah.
نعم.
Explanation of the ayah of Surah Al-Bara'ah.
نعم. So the first verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا, there were two tafsirs for it. And the second verse, there's a wa'id, there's a severe threat for those that love other people over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their family and their so on, over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The obligation of loving him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than the self, one's family and wealth.
Nah, that is clear in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that we should do so.
The negation of faith is not proof of the removal from Islam.
Nah, same as we took in the last chapter. If a person is, if iman is negated from a person, it doesn't mean that they are always a disbeliever. It could mean that the completeness of iman has been negated.
That there is a delightful taste to faith. For some it is present and for others it is not.
Naam. So iman is what causes a person to do righteous deeds. Why do you think in Ramadan the masajid are full and people are able to pray taraweeh? People are able to stand 2 hours in salah. Lakin on the day after the day of Eid, it's like the energy goes. So it shows that iman increases and it decreases, as Ahlul Sunnah believe.
Four deeds of the heart for which there will not occur friendship of Allah without them, nor will there be one who has tasted faith without them.
Naam, loving and holding, withholding or hating for the sake of Allah and so on.
The understanding of the companion that in general people form bonds of brotherhood based on matters of the world.
Naam, that is just how we are. As Bani Adam, people love one another for the sake of worldly purposes, and it shouldn't be the case. They should love each other for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake.
The explanation of and their ties of relationships are cut.
Naam, all ties and all relationships cut yawm al-qiyamah. lacking those relationships that were based upon batil and disobedience.
That among the mushrikeen are those who have a strong love for Allah.
Naam, they have a strong love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, where did they go wrong? يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّي. لا, they love them like they love their gods. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like they love their gods.
The threat of punishment for anyone who loves the eight things mentioned more than his religion.
Naam, the eight things mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah.
That to take a rival loving him equally as one loves Allah is major shirk.
Naam. Loving a person, loving someone or a god, a false idol or whatever, or a person like you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kufr. And one of the reasons why they will mention that they will say we were upon misguidance is because they loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the same way as they loved these false gods. So now we've completed how many chapters? 31 chapters. So our exam will be on 30 chapters, inshallah. From the muqaddimah, from the beginning up until 30 chapters. How many lessons is that? Today's the 15th one. Type 15, 13, give or take. Yeah, the first chapters are obviously kind of long. They take the lacking. The rest of the chapters, we're able to finish two or three or four in one day. So we'll, obviously, we're just around halfway of the book. Halfway. So the exam, lacking, obviously, will be a bit more difficult than previous exams. Not to scare you, lacking, it's for your benefit. I would encourage you to prepare. I'll give you about 2 weeks to prepare, inshallah.